Welcome to MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning, Andrew Craig, and Brad McLaughlin, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, or anyone who wants a sneak peek into the real world of bedside nursing. So join us, laugh along the way, and maybe learn a little something too. And thanks for listening, guys. Hello, nurses. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, or stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful information, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect that of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks. You are listening to MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. On the phone with me today, I have travel nurse, musician, and friend, Daniel DeMonte. Dan, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you, Abe?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Where are you today? What part of the world are you in?
I'm sitting at a park bench in Costa Mesa, Orange County, California.
That's awesome. Is it absolutely beautiful where you are?
Yeah, it's like a little hotter today than I'm usually down in San Diego, where it's just, you know, like 75,
perfect,
80 and sunny every single day. But yeah, I mean, it ain't too bad here today.
Nice. So you are a nurse.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did this all happen?
How did I get from there to here, huh?
Yeah. How did you wake up one day and say, I want to be a nurse, and then now you are where you are right now?
Let me tell you, kid, it wasn't easy. So I grew up in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. I went to the University of Iowa, and I went there as a music therapy major, and then wasn't really digging doing that in school, although I've always appreciated that, but we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched over to a nursing major, honestly kind of on a whim. I knew I wanted to stay in healthcare, and I'd always had a knack for there's no other way to put it but the cliche of, like, oh, I like helping people, you know?
Yeah. It's a cliche because it's true. I mean, it's...
Exactly. And so I worked as a nurse where we met at the University of Iowa for about a year and a half, and then I started travel nursing. I went to Milwaukee. I went to New York City and to San Diego, and now I'm sticking around California for a bit.
That is... So you've literally been pretty much to both coasts. I mean, I know New York isn't on the coast. I'm not a total landlocked idiot, but like you've seen very disparate communities, basically. That's pretty cool. So,
and yet people are kind of the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of the takeaway from it all. Yeah, no matter where you go, it's like healthcare in this country is vital, and
you need to be top notch
to get stuff done. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, traveling alone is interesting enough, but in addition to the traveling aspect of your life, you also have a touring aspect of your life at the moment, right now, right?
Yeah, I'm playing a show tonight, and I play with a band based out of LA called Red Pony Clock. They kind of have they're an interesting group. I don't really know honestly how to describe them. Kind of mariachi sounding horns with kind of tropical sounding things.
Some
sort of pop vibes, Roy Orbison kind of vibes.
I'm gonna Google that immediately after we hang up.
Yeah, check it out. So we're playing Costa Mesa tonight, and then we go down to San Diego tomorrow, and then I'm on the road for 2 weeks with them, and then I get a month where I'll probably be working a little bit and planning my tour for my music, which will start. I know that this is kind of going to date this podcast, but it will start.
That's okay. Go ahead. That's all right.
It either will start or has started on September 17th, and I'll go until about Halloween, 6 weeks on the road.
Okay, so this is interesting because, you know, you clearly have had music in your life for some time if you started out as a music therapy major. Kind of what I want to get at with you today is how you've taken that musical background that clearly is a part of your personal and recreational life and talk about how that translates to Dan the nurse. Like, do you feel like you're equal parts? Do you feel like you're one more than the other? I mean, that's a pretty personal question, but...
No, I believe that both are very vocational things. It's like, music's not just a job, and to be a nurse is not just a job.
Right, right.
It's just kind of something that you feel called to do, because helping people in that facet is not the most glamorous lifestyle in the world. It's not like...
Right.
And you're not going to enjoy every day, you know, but you have this strange, it's a certain je ne sais quoi.
It's a pull. It's a pull. It's like
a
gravitational pull towards this thing.
Mm-hmm. And it just makes you earthy and go out to the bar with your friends just talking about wiping people's asses and without batting an eyelash. And like, so there I was. And they're like, oh, preach. No, I had this guy the other day who was shitting all over the floor.
I wonder if listeners, there has been quite a lot of poop talk in other episodes. And so it's either going
to... We're coping.
To,
we're coping. That's what
yeah,
it is.
We are. It's either going to drive away a lot of listeners, or we, like Andrew and I, for listeners who haven't caught other episodes, Andrew Craig is another traveling nurse that I know that I'm doing episodes with. But he
mutual friend.
Yeah, mutual friend. So we're all kind of in the same circle of people that work together at what I believe was a renaissance on the unit where I work. I love all of my coworkers. Well, most of my coworkers. But, you know, sometimes there are people that click, and you were somebody that I felt like I clicked with, and there were a number of us that kind of all existed in nurse.
That great group, man.
And I was a nursing assistant at the time, so we've never been nurses together. So that also is an interesting dynamic because you're off doing awesome things. But I want you to take just a couple minutes, and I want the brag list. I want like the mother's version of a brag list in terms of like some of the things that you have done. Of course, you know, we say at the beginning of every show we don't violate HIPAA, but you have done some things with music in the presence of patients that I think really speak to what you're talking about. This whole, like, I just feel compelled. I have to provide this therapy. I mean, you are doing music therapy. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, totally.
You know, legally protected vague details?
I'll be as specific in my vagueness as I can.
Yes.
They've gone hand in hand from day one. I mean, a lot of my influence in my musical life just comes from my everyday. You know, I'm of the James Taylor songwriting school or others where it's sort of the romanticization of the everyday, which, you know, or like Springsteen or any of those guys who have done that, all the classic songwriters who have done that. And my time as a nurse being no exception, I started kind of exploring writing songs about my nursing practice. So that was actually nursing helping out my music life. Before I was a nurse, my songs were, you know, I'd write love songs. I would write kind of these existential, bordering on angsty, kind of like, I don't know where I belong, like the classic.
Everybody goes through that.
You write love songs, loneliness songs, like that. Those are the universal truths, you know, especially in songwriting. But then I started taking care of people, and frankly, when I saw my first person die, too, all of a sudden, you just, something clicks in your head. And you get to this heightened state that borders on mysticism mixed with a not giving a fuck.
You could not have said that better. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Not to say I know exactly what life is about, because I haven't lived it all the way through yet, so I don't know how it ends. But I've seen a lot of them end at the same time, and you can kind of do a meta analysis of the data and see, like, okay, well, these are good ones. This is a good death, and these ones were not so good deaths. But then even our sense of good and bad is all dependent on our own personal experiences. So, you know, what looks bad from the inside out or from the outside in is actually a blessing in the skies, blah, blah, blah. But back to what we were originally talking about. for my music.
This is a podcast of tangents. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Please continue.
Sure. So my nursing has affected my music in that my songwriting has taken on a new scope of what my songs are about and how I plan on going about my music career based on what I've seen in the very real world of healthcare and people who have gone through hardships. It's one thing to sit in your bedroom and like think about like, oh, what are some hardships that people go through from day to day? Well, instead you're just on the front lines seeing people who are having a real rough time.
Right, like you're standing beside them as they're experiencing
yeah.
it.
So you don't have to imagine right there. Then the other way around would be how my music has affected my nursing. And that one's pretty straightforward. I've brought in my guitar and played for patients. Especially at Iowa. I haven't done it as much while I've been traveling, but I've done music in a different way while I've been traveling. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In my time at Iowa, the floor I was on, there's just something special about that floor. There's, I mean, the community that I had with you guys and the aforementioned nurses, who we all just kind of started around the same time, and there was that real sense of trust, and we just kind of got each other, and we went out and had fun together, and the floor had a lot of mama hens. It had a lot of lifers up there who had the floor's best interests at heart, and there wasn't a lot of turnover. Really, when I got hired on, was because the floor was expanding. Otherwise, that floor had zero turnover. Everybody stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved it.
Yep.
Because it was just a good bunch. I mean, starting with the NPs on the floor, who one of them worked on the floor as a floor nurse and became manager, and they became the NP, and it was kind of his baby. But
yeah.
You already know that. But for the listeners.
Yeah, but no, it's important to know that, you know, when you feel that sense of community, like hospitals can be horrible, horrible places. And so it's really rare. I don't even know how rare, because I haven't worked at that many places. But when you come to a unit and you feel like you've walked into an extended family and that your patients are in that some, because, you know, we also see people that we see frequently or that we see for long periods of time.
Exactly.
And so it does become very much like its own community. So, yeah.
Because on our unit, we had the frequent flyers, which a lot of times with nurses, the frequent flyer tag has a negative connotation.
Yeah,
like,
but
you again? Well, some of them was an OU again. But,
yeah.
but then, you know, I'd say probably a majority of the frequent flyers was like, yeah, sorry you're sick, but hey, welcome back.
To see you, but I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, because I know I know my night's going to be easy because you're a great patient, but selfishly, good to see you. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to, when I worked Christmas 1 year, I brought in my guitar because there were some patients there who had to spend Christmas in the hospital, unfortunately. And so I brought in my guitar and I played some carols and went from room to room playing for a few people who could really use it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got to play. I played for dying patients, of course, and played at the funeral of one of our patients who was a frequent flyer, and then eventually died pretty young. And that was especially moving. That was, and I got to play one of my songs that I wrote too, which was about kind of losing a loved one, or about the husband or wife of a patient, like sitting vigil while their loved one was dying, and just kind of thoughts going through their head. A lot of the lines from the song come from different things that patients have said that I've written down, or just little snippets here and there from that. They're totally just playing off of each other nonstop, both of my careers, my vocation.
And it feels like that's something that has a two-way street of benefit, because music is medicine for a lot of people. You know, anybody who's anytime you've ever had any emotion in regards to music, you know, like it's feeding your body. It's feeding you listen to that sad song and you cry about it. You listen to that happy song and you dance around your kitchen in your underwear. Like, we have these very visceral reactions to music. And so I think that it's really important that when we're trying to heal ourselves, that we incorporate those feelings. And so for patients, obviously it's critical. And, you know, we have a music therapy program. Lots of places do, where you can just have someone come in and sing or, you know, play or whatever. But also, I imagine that for you probably get an amazing sense of, okay, yeah, I can give you your medicine, I can turn you so you don't get bed sores, but I also can, like, give you something beautiful to listen to for a few minutes. and pretend like you're not in a hospital.
Yeah, sometimes unfortunately, that's like the worst thing for a sick person is being in the hospital. Like just that alone, you know, like older patients get delirious and the bed sores, like you mentioned, hospital acquired infections, just anything and not 100% of it isn't a mental game, but a pretty darn good amount of it is a mental game. If you feel like you're going to be getting out of that hospital, then you're going to get out.
Yeah.
And just giving them a little taste of the outside world instead of them just laying in that bed all day, just the outside world that there's music out there. There's
right,
there's
like
all
not
these
just
great
listening
things.
To the monitors beeping,
or the,
you
or,
know?
The care network, the
right, the terrible music,
the sleepy music, exactly, all day.
So one of the things that I think is so, I mean, you're special for a lot of reasons, but that is especially
my mom
special.
So too.
Yeah, well. God bless your mom. And the thing is, you know, for the people listening, Dan and I have this dynamic from the beginning of, like, we both grew up kind of in the same region of the Chicago suburbs. Like, even though I am not an Italian outright, like, I am kind of Italian by association because of who I grew up with and the things that I was influenced by. So, you know, that was
Uncle
kind of
Aldo.
Like Aldo Speroni. Aldo Speroni.
You know?
Yeah, he does. So we kind of bonded over that, and we have a lot of snark between us, but I think there's also a lot of respect between us. And I was especially excited to talk to you about this topic because you're actually living your practice, giving of yourself in ways that are not destructive. At the same time, you're also, like, living this life where, like, yeah, it's cool that you can come in and play guitar for your patients, but also in your clocked out life, when the stethoscope, you know, goes back in the locker, you have the ability to be a part, like, okay, so we haven't even mentioned this. We've got to talk about all the fucking instruments you play. You, we're not just talking about, like, you know, a crooner. Like, you are a musician. So give the mom brag list about that for a second.
If we were talking to my mom right now, she would talk about how I started playing trumpet in fourth grade, and I started playing piano around junior high, and then I picked up guitar as a New Year's resolution in high school. I learned that on my own. The first two I had lessons for, the guitar I picked up. And I started seriously singing around the end of high school, going into college, and I just play all sorts of other crap. I've always played drums a little bit. My brother's a fine drummer as well. And I've always been a sucker for writing songs, too. It's one thing if you learn how to play an instrument and you become really good at that, but I've always kind of been bigger picture with it. I love the interplay between instruments. I love being able to put words to a song and, like, get these feelings from the chords, but then the words on top of it that could mean all sorts of different things just makes it even more of a universal language, but at the same time the lyrics can kind of focus you in on one thing, like, oh, this is a really sad song. There's something about music with words versus instrumental. So I play a lot of instruments.
And I did
a double major in college. I have a music degree as well.
So literally you've been studying for this role your whole life, pretty much.
Yeah.
You have the talent. You knew that you needed to share it, and nursing just happened to fall into place for you as a way for you to, like, maximize, you know, you get to have fun with it and do what you want with playing with bands and making your own music and writing your own stuff. But, you know, you also have this ability to, like, come into people's lives for even if it's just for a shift.
Yeah.
So do you like hum, or, like, do you catch yourself, like, singing quietly under your breath when you're, like, just going around doing patient care, tidying up the room, like, scanning meds?
No, I never sing under my breath. It's usually pretty outright.
Yeah. Well, I only ask that because I worked with a nurse for a long time when I was a brand new nursing assistant. I never saw her unhappy. And she had the most beautiful voice. And she would just be, like, going around the room, scanning meds, doing people's baths, washing their armpits, just, like, singing happy little ditties to them. And at first, initially, I was like, oh, my God, this is so obnoxious. Why isn't she ever stopped? Then I caught myself bopping and singing along, and patients who haven't felt good for days kind of, like, sort of humming along a little bit. Can't deny, like, our heartbeats are our rhythms. Like, we need to have music. I think it's really cool. Also, like, as we round out, we're kind of coming up on about a half hour here. Why don't you talk a little bit more about how
I can talk all night, baby.
Oh, hey, yeah, we don't have to stop here. We can talk about absolutely anything. I just was trying to be mindful of you. But so let's do some promotion of Dan DeMonte, the off-duty nurse, the musician. How can people find your stuff? I mean, anybody can Google you, but, like, guide us to some things that you want us to see. Oh, and actually, before you do that, sorry, I'm going to be a bad host, and I'm going to interrupt you before I've even let you speak. I wanted to tell people that I have seen you perform. I saw you perform at a restaurant in Iowa City where I live, and I had a couple cocktails. I think a couple other coworkers came that night. I can't remember. I have vague memories. But for one, you were playing with some pretty damn good musicians. Like, just, I feel like Iowa City, not only do we have, like, the great self-DIY band scene, but we've got, like, really good trained musicians here. So you had a really good band with you. And I was enjoying the set. I was sitting in a booth, like, chit-chatting, and I had the giggles. I have to admit, I had ferocious giggles. I think I have a recording of your performance somewhere on my hard drive.
I remember that night.
And I was worried that you were going to hear me laughing in the recording and think that I was laughing at you, but I had the giggles so bad. And so I'm trying to control my giggles, and then I don't know what, I can't remember if it was a cover or an original. I'm sorry.
I remember exactly what it was, because you said, well, one thing that you said was touching was you had a friend there who was having a rough time, and you said, like, this is the first time I've seen her smile and have fun in a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The reason why you guys were laughing and smiling and having fun was because I was covering the Beck song Deborah, which is already like a parody. it's like Beck making a fake Prince song. And, yeah, and so I'm like pelvic thrusting on stage and making these really silly noises.
The most falsetto-y falsetto.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was so good. You nailed it. You nailed it.
I was here with you.
But I immediately, dude, I lost my shit. Not because, and again, I have to reiterate, I was not, like, laughing at you. Like, I was just, like, I was already trapped in a wave of giggles, and the current pulled me under. I felt like I was in church, and I wasn't supposed to be laughing.
Well, that's the funny thing, is the only time, well, I don't even really get offended if people leave, because sometimes people just have to leave for various reasons.
Yeah.
If people are laughing at me for what I'm doing, like, I usually don't take what I'm doing, like, serious enough. And usually if you think I'm funny, it's because I'm intentionally trying to be funny or silly.
Yeah, so now that I've recounted that really great memory of giggling my ass off to that amazing song, how do people talk about how people listen to your stuff? How do we find you? Do you have a website?
So,
are you on YouTube?
Yeah, it's just, you can go to dandemonte.com, DANDIMONTE. Come on, I'm all over the social media stuff. I don't really like social media that much, but I do.
You used to not be. You know? You used to be
old-fashioned. It still sucks life on me, but
it's like that line from Sopranos. I don't know if I can say it. Can I say a line from Sopranos?
No, please.
It's when he goes, it's just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And that's kind of what social media has done to you. Like, just when you think you were out, we've pulled you back in. So, yeah.
Well, I guess,
and I guess
I can tell I can tell a little bit of that story there with social media.
We're
kind of what I've done with this. This will lead into what my current project for music is as well. So at about a year and a half at Iowa, I started travel nursing, which in retrospect was not enough experience. But I did it anyways. And when I went on the road, I bought a little interface for my computer, just a couple microphone inputs, and I bought a few like multi-purpose microphones. And I brought my acoustic guitar and my trumpet with me to every city that I went to. And I wrote and recorded at least one song in each of the cities I travel nursed to.
Oh, so like a travel diary almost.
Yeah. It's sort of, I think I explained it in the album, like the album insert best. It's kind of a concept album in that it's kind of a snapshot into my life, but it's not really like a cohesive, like blatant in your face, like story. It's not like
mm-hmm.
Tommy
mm-hmm.
or something, or not even.
Right.
Like
it's not, you didn't write a rock
like
opera. Not yet.
I know.
Get
nurse
on it.
Rock opera. Gonna happen. Although I have actually had that idea. I've had like images of like a song about poop and like nurses like doing like like color guard stuff with bedpans and stuff, like musical theater. It's on the back burner.
Sign me up for that. I'll totally wave a bedpan around in unison with a bunch of other people. I would do that for you.
So I went to Milwaukee, and that was kind of my first stop on the road. And I was kind of dealing with, I'm in a new environment. I was so comfortable at Iowa, and now I'm in this felt like a hostile environment at the time, you know, because I'm expected to know what I'm doing when I show up. Crazy. But not nearly as crazy as New York City.
These are all topics for other episodes that you're just spewing out right now. So I'm going to put all this shit down. We can talk about these things. We can make hours of content.
Oh, yeah. We could keep on talking. The song I wrote in Milwaukee was kind of I was reading a bunch of William Leaf Heatmoon at the time. He's kind of a travel writer, but it's not really travel writing. If he wrote while he was traveling, his books are called like deep map books, because he'll travel to different cities and kind of do a bunch of research on where he is. I mean, he talks about the premise of his writing. The book he wrote was Blue Highways, which I read before I started traveling, but I was reading some of his other books while I was on the road, and he talks about how he lost his job and he lost his wife in like the same day. And he just said, well, if a man doesn't know where to go next, he can always just go. So he just bought a van and drove around the country for 6 months, wrote about all the places he went.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not really like a self-discovery thing. He was just kind of writing just about where he
was
going.
Like, it is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is what it is. And at the end, he kind of says, like, I wasn't really going out to seek anything or to try and learn anything, but I learned something. I'm sure I'll figure out what it is eventually. I'm not exactly what he says. But I was also reading a bunch of Thomas Merton at the time, who's one of the great Catholic mystic Trappist monks, who was also a writer and a fine writer. So that combined, the song I wrote in Milwaukee was kind of a prodigal son kind of thing. So I was leaving home and kind of feeling the story of the prodigal son is a classic, but you never know which role you are in the story. Are you the prodigal son going away and squandering your father's fortune? Are you the son who's coming back to your father's open arms? Are you the father accepting someone back after all they've done? Are you the brother of the prodigal son who says, look, dad, I've been at your side the entire time, and now he comes back and he gets the welcome mat rolled out for him? Like, there's just so many. It's such a deep story, and I kind of touch on it a little bit in one of my songs. All those feelings, so many feelings that I was feeling.
So many feelings. So, I mean, this has, without sounding super cheesy, this has to have some level of, like, catharsis for you, that, like, you're basically creating this work or this collection or whatever you want to call it.
It's very deeply personal style of songwriting form that I hadn't really, I had kind of done, you know, I had like I said earlier, I kind of romanticized my life, but my life wasn't really that romantic to begin with. But then all of a sudden when I hit the road, then I was especially vulnerable being on the road and really tapping into some deep shit.
Forced you to confront some things, yeah.
Oh yeah, because after Milwaukee, my New York nursing license, I kind of flipped the coin. I said New York or Seattle. Let's just see where a job is available. And New York got back to me first, so I decided to go there. My nursing license didn't come through in time, so I all of a sudden had a month off because my license didn't go through. So they said, okay, we'll just move you back to the next start date. I got done in Milwaukee, and instead of extending, I just had 3 weeks off. And is it okay if I just tell the whole story? I mean,
yeah, please do. We've got nothing.
So I ended up, there's a dog coming. Hello, dog. So I went to,
put him on the phone.
For the listeners at home, that was a nice dog who just came over to say hi in the park. So I went to, just as every artist has kind of dreamed of, I don't know if every artist has, but a vast amount of people you talk to, they just say, you know, man, like, I would love nothing more than just to, like, go away for a while and, like, do nothing but my art, man, and just, like, in its purest form. And go to Walden Pond, go write Nebraska, or go do forever ago. Just go and be that recluse in the woods. And of course, me, I was no exception, so I said, I'm just going to go to my family's cabin in the woods for 2 weeks and see what happens. So I brought my... The gear that I was bringing from city to city, and I brought it to my cottage, and it's a little A-frame house up in Northwest Illinois, and I laid down three songs up there. One of them was a collaboration with a really good friend of mine who lives over in Dubuque. He was a hop over the river, and his name is River. He would hop over the river and come over
river
to the cottage
the
and
river.
River hop the river. And I just got done meeting with a bassist today named Ocean, so I must be attracted to musicians.
Well, and you know something?
Bodies of water.
So the root, the Latin root of my name is also water-based. So, which is ironic because I didn't learn how to swim until I was like in my early 30s. So, but anyway, please continue. Yes. Yeah, so I didn't mean to side rail you again.
I'm feeling the surface tension. Absolutely. So I went to the cabin and I wrote a song, the opening song on my record, River. That was like the first time that I had written a song like through and through with somebody. It was an awesome experience, but he was only up there for a few days. The rest of the time, I was all alone. I would spend 12, 14 hours nonstop writing, recording, mixing, remixing, re-remixing, re-recording. Just, I was such a perfectionist. And
that's what I want to do with this podcast.
I know. You just got to get it out there. If you ever listen to, I don't know if we can plug other podcasts on your podcast, but...
As long as we know, you know, we say that we're not, you know, sponsored by them and, you know, we just love them.
I'm not sponsored by Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History, but if I were to quote it, I would talk about one of his episodes. He talks about artists who are it's another famous artist, but the tinkerers versus the ones who can just like Bob Dylan or Paul McCartney, who can just like shit out some beautiful
like
lyrics
an
and melody
song.
And put it out
yeah.
there like and they just put it out there like immediately. Picasso could paint something and get it right out there in a week versus this other artist whose name I cannot remember now. You have these artists who just tinker and tinker at their work,
mm-hmm.
and they put out what they think is the finished product, but then all of a sudden, oh no, I missed something. So they'll retract it, like Kanye did with Life of Pablo. he'll just unrelease an album.
Yeah, that was it. It was about a Picasso and Kanye, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. say something. Say Zon, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of always been a tinkerer, especially with this record. I sat on the material for over a year. Meanwhile, my first album, I had all these songs that I had written, but nowhere to record them. And then I recorded them all, like every single song I had. And then I just released every single one. And then all of a sudden I said, oh, no, wait, that was a bad business model. Cause now I have no surplus of songs to like string out like the buzz.
Right.
It's just like, oh, now it's all
back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board. And this album was back to the drawing board. But so the rest of the time, yeah, I would be tinkering all day, and then nighttime would roll around, and I'd waste all the daylight on writing and recording and all that stuff, and I'd say, oh, I don't feel like doing music anymore, and then I would think, well, now what? Because there's no one around for miles, dark out, and we have a TV, but I don't really do that.
So then I went to, that
was when I bought my second Thomas Merton book, and I was reading Merton. I went to an antique store in a town like a half an hour away, and I found this book called Lives of Saints, and it was from like the late 40s, and it was just kind of all it had was an editor just like writing about just, you know, Reader's Digest versions of the Lives of Saints, and I read a lot about Saint Anthony, kind of the original monk, the OG of monks, if you will, and people talking to him about he would cloister himself away, he'd fast for days on end, and just people would bring him scraps to get him by, and people would ask him like, do you have any books in there with you? What do you do all this time that mm-hmm. you're just sitting around praying and just hanging out? Like, you have books to keep you busy? He's like, oh, what are books but just someone else's thoughts? You know, I got my own thoughts. Like, why do I need to read someone else's?
Huh.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
So needless
like
to say,
that.
I had to buy some books because I didn't like my own thoughts. because, well, it's weird. Two ways you can go when you're alone. I was talking to my girlfriend about this because she's more of a realist when she's alone. I don't know if this is realist. It's kind of sad what she goes through because if she's alone in the woods, she's afraid like, oh my God, some creeper's going to show up.
Me too. Yep.
Like,
yep. That's me.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm defenseless in the middle
exactly.
of nowhere.
And so she's like, some crazy rapist is going to come and murder me. And meanwhile, I'm like, there's ghosts. I know there's ghosts in here somewhere. And they're going to like mess with my spirit. Like, totally impractical, just, like, I wasn't worried about, like, anyone mortal or living on this earth. I was like, I'm going to have some crazy spiritual experience. I'm going to be found dead here, like, 3 years from now. Like, I'm going to reappear.
You're perfectly preserved corpse in the
yeah,
sun,
yeah, some
leathered
crazy,
and
yeah.
with a guitar still in hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of like, oh yeah, some like crazy guy might come out of the woods, which is actually like more realistic, sadly, than a creeper would come versus ghosts.
Yeah.
But I was told
you
know, my own.
You just don't know.
You just don't. You never can tell with those ghosts, huh? They're shifty.
They're so erratic. They, you know, they come, they go, they don't call first.
Yeah, and then there's kind of like, ooh, like, so what is that? And you never actually know if it's them or not.
So, yes, I would be worried about the, like, you know, somebody escaped from the prison down the road the night that I showed up, and they just happened to stumble upon, like, the warm hearth of my cabin, and then I get tortured for 17 years, and then they find me with, like, no arms and a cardboard box, like, singing show tunes to myself, like...
You thought about this.
Yeah, you know, this. I mean, this, yeah. I, you know, I'm a horror movie writer in my head. No, not really. I hate horror movies. But then the other thing that I worry about more practically, because I'm a realist as well, I'm more worried that, like, I'm going to, like, go out to the woods to, like, take a shit, and I'm going to break my leg on a hill, and I'm going to be, like, laying in the woods in my own shit, like, not able to get back to the cabin. Like, that's more realistic than, like, someone coming and, like, giving a shit that I'm there.
Oh, God.
So.
Yeah, like I just happen to be, like, up on a ladder, like, fixing something. Oh, no.
Yeah, you, like,
oh, have and I'm stuck.
Antenna for the TV blows off, you know. You're actually really enjoying this old movie that was on the one channel you get. You climb, fix it, you fall off, and suddenly you have locked in. And I shouldn't joke. But, you know,
God,
those are the things that I worry about. Like, being out
but
in the country.
But then that's the shit that nurses laugh at, too.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
The worst possible scenario.
Yeah, these are the horror movies in the head of night shift nursing.
Oh, man. Yeah, all those things you just said, that was me entirely. And, yeah, I didn't go, like, legally insane, but I went a little nutso.
Yeah?
I didn't realize I had all that shit.
So, like, you're singing a lot, you're writing, so you're still vocalizing. But, like, you know, I'm not a crazy person. I'm not, like, talking to myself in public. But, like, you know, if I find something in my house I've been looking for a while, I'll be like, I'll be damned. I've been looking for that. You know, there's nobody in the house. I'm, like, talking out loud. I think everybody does that a little bit.
I had to talk to myself just to clear the air in the fucking house. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, look at that. Oh, wow, that's so great. Dan, you're so good at music. Blah, blah. I didn't have like a Wilson or anything. Like I didn't have to personify an object or anything.
One of my friends actually grew a kohlrabi one year that was so big that we had Wilson the kohlrabi. Anyway,
that's hilarious.
The conversation is getting more and more random as every minute goes by.
I'll move on from the cabin. So you've got this project.
So you've got all these songs now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And after the cottage, I went to New York City and did the same thing as Milwaukee, except for I didn't have my car. I just took whatever I could on a plane, just a couple suitcases, and my guitar. My trumpet was in my suitcase, and the same little audio interface thing. I lived with some musicians there, so I was able to use some of their gear, which was awesome, and recorded a song there. I mean, we can go on and on about how shitty the hospital that I was at in New York was, if we really want to.
I do want to make a separate episode about that, honestly, because I think that there's a lot of value to talking about, because, you know, we always hear people talking about, well, here are tips on how to do this well and how to survive this, but, you know, really, sometimes there are just circumstances that you're in. As a nurse, you cannot abandon your patients. You cannot just up and quit a job and expect to get another one in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, when you're in a situation, you're kind of in that situation. And so I do want to spend more dedicated, respectful time towards talking about, like, what the f*** you do in situations like that.
Yeah.
So we'll come back
to that.
Yeah, I want to keep the focus to, like, this project and what folks can expect from you.
The crowd is waiting. Well, so after New York, I came down to San Diego, where I still am to this day.
Where life is perfect and it never
snows. Yeah,
life
is perfect. Yeah, although a little hilarious when I came down here, it's a little tangent. When I came down here, I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about the worst winter storm to hit San Diego in like 10 years. And in my mind, I'm thinking, winter storm? They're like, yeah, it's going to rain a bunch. And I'm thinking,
that's not a winter
storm.
What hemisphere am I in? What?
Yeah, in their defense, it did rain a lot. But it's rain.
Right.
Light.
It's not, you don't have chip 4 inches of it off your windshield in negative 32 degree winds. Like.
Yeah, you and I know Chicago winters too.
Yeah, anybody listening that's grown up in the Midwest, not only can it be pretty brutal, but it's erratic. So, like, one day, you know, it's like you go to work and you need no coat, no hat. You know, I work night shifts. So, like, I go to work. It's beautiful. I just have on a hoodie. I come out of work. Immediately, my nose hairs are frozen to the inside of my nose because it's so cold out.
If your hair was wet from the shower, that's frozen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get to work and you have to crack the ice out of your hair. No. No, thank you. Yeah. So, now you're in San Diego and you're doing the per diem thing. I have to be honest. I don't know. Are you just like kind of like a floater? You call them up and you say, "Hey, I can work today. What you got for me?" Or what?
Yeah. So I started as a traveler down here and did the traditional traveler setup. But then, I signed on for what they call the Staffing Resource Network down here at this hospital I work at. And they have 4 hospitals in the San Diego area. And basically, I'm in the float pool
for a bigger network of hospitals.
Amongst those hospitals, I'm in their float pool. I'm a progressive care step down float, so I can float to progressive care and down. So I go to med surge a lot. I'll go to rehab sometimes.
Do you want to get your PCCN?
I don't know. I'm kind of working pretty hard at the music thing for now. I mean, if the music thing kind of dies down or, like, you know, I'm kind of focusing all my energy on that that's not spent at work.
Dude,
so.
I get it. Doug and Andrew's wife, Sarah, they're probably both so fucking sick about hearing about the podcast. No, I'm joking. They're both really supportive, but, like, I get it. Like, you get an idea or you get, like, a project that you want to work on, and really you're just, like, you know, you're eating your cereal in the morning while working on this with your other hand. I get it. Like,
every waking,
you do that.
Every damn waking moment for these past few months has been me. When I'm home and I have a day off, I don't go to the beach. I don't go, like, enjoy the Southern California beauty. I'm like sitting in a coffee shop or sitting in my house sending emails to venues. I get it, but
that's kind of breaking my heart just because of the temperateness. Like, I would be spending so much time outside right now, but it's like you go outside and instantly your clothes are wet with sweat. Literally, you walk from the front door of my house to the car and you're like, I have to wipe off my face. It is so humid.
Yes,
so I'm
here,
kind of
nice,
like,
nice drive.
I kind of want to scold you a little bit and be like, go fucking ride on a park bench tomorrow, man. Like,
no, my parents came to visit a few weeks ago and they did the exact same thing. They're like, why aren't you at the beach like every damn day?
Every day. Well, you got to protect your skin. Protect your skin. You don't want to just be a sun worshiper. We don't want any melanoma or anything going on here.
No melanoma.
No Mel. Stay away from Uncle Mel.
Uncle Mel.
Mel.
Melanoma.
All right. Well, you know what? Please continue.
Anyway, this gig, this per diem gig, the hospital is, I mean, as the, you know, there's a nursing shortage everywhere, but this hospital especially has had kind of a pretty rough shortage, and they're always calling out with time and a half, double time, incentive pay, things like that to get people to come in. So in my position, I have to work 4 shifts every 4 weeks in order to maintain my employee status. I contain the retirement. I don't get benefits. I just pay for my own. And my salary is up as a result of them not offering me employee benefits.
Yeah, because that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people think of their benefits as part of their salary. So, like, if you don't get insurance and benefits, like, they best be giving you some more money, man.
I'm paying out of pocket for a bullshit catastrophic policy, you know, where I would have to incur like $7,000 of medical costs before insurance would even start paying for
anything.
Is
even going to be helpful to you?
Yeah.
Well, damn it.
So, but I mean, I'm relatively healthy right now, so like for now it works.
Yep.
I know in the future I'll have to figure it out. But
do it while you're young, Sonny. Because when you get to be an old lady like me, your bones creak anytime you think about it. No, actually,
Auntie Adrienne.
Actually, you know, nothing's impending because I'm still working on school. Like I'm pretty solidly rooted here right now. But the itch, the itch to go is getting to me, and I just reached my year mark as an RN. I'm not ready to travel yet, but yeah. You know, I've got the full year down. I'm starting to feel like I'm at least able to pick apart what I am great at and what I need to focus on. You know, my goals are happening. I'm working on those. I think that we should talk again in the future for sure, because I mean, just talking to you, I've jotted down a number of things like that I want to talk about. You're a wealth of information, and also you're just enjoyable to talk to. I'm sure people would get a kick out of listening to us have seven different conversations all at the same time.
You can kind of chop this up and put it in order.
Actually, I've been, you know, playing around with some home recording stuff and, like, learning how to edit. So maybe I'll just, instead of chopping it up, I'll just make it, like, several different plot lines. I'll just make some, what do you call it, like, interlude music, some, like, segue
yeah,
music in
some,
between
some,
each
some
one.
Some music.
Meanwhile, back at conversation number one. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Besides, oh, yeah. I think that people that are going to be drawn to this podcast are people that are they're sharp. They're fast. They're going to keep up with us. They're
I think they're only the smartest people are going to listen to this.
That's
only,
right,
and,
man.
And they're all going to be they're all beautiful too.
On that note, so we want people to subscribe, share these episodes, and come back for more because Dan, we can expect to hear more from you in the future, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So you're
did I ever
playing
finish
the show
my
tonight.
Story?
Did you? Am I?
Did I ever actually finish my story?
I think I need to be fired as a host. I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to shut up, and I'm not editing this out. This is radio gold. This is what it's really like to be a night shift nurse. I'm awake in the middle of the day, and I'm pulling this crap. Please continue.
Well, there's some energy left. That's it. That's all I have.
No.
No. Well, basically, I mean, what my life boils down to now is I pick up shifts here and there when they need me. I work the bare minimum, and the rest of the time I'm spending touring or playing gigs around town. I work
on
my art. But then after my big tour, which will be done by the end of October, I'll probably be picking up way more shifts to kind of get a nest egg going again.
Sure, sure. To be able to facilitate that next time around.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I'm meeting with, I just met with a bassist today that I'm going to take on the road. This time around, I wanted my musicians to all sing. And so I have a singing drummer and a singing bassist because this record is very
There are a few things
harmony.
I love more than a singing drummer, man. Some of my favorite bands, both local and national, have some singing drummers. So there you go.
I found my Levon Helm, my Don Henley.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. The new record is very, like I said, very vocal driven. Because my first record was more horn driven. I always had the horn line come in and it was more jazzy. But this one's kind of folky, Sufjan Stevens-y kind of folk where it's kind of a big production. Lots of sometimes some strings, some like synth stuff, and still just as eclectic as ever. There's like there's
sounds
a dance
like fun,
tune
man.
Followed by a folk tune, and
and
the record is called "The Best of the Midwest Variety Hour."
The Best of the Midwest Variety Hour. That's fantastic.
Like a fake radio show.
Yeah, but you know what? Fake radio is where it's at, man. I should know.
Yeah, no, podcasts are fake radio.
But it's great because it's a way that you can get your stuff out there because obviously it sounds like you went to some pretty great lengths to make this a really good work. And it sounds like you've given a lot of yourself that you...
This one was especially personal for me.
There are a lot of really great musicians that curate their bands. Not so much, hey man, I put a flyer up on the telephone pole, like, I need a drum. I really feel the incarnations of your bands that I've seen here and what you're talking about now, I feel like you're more so, I need a person to fill this role, not just, I need a drummer. Can you drum?
Yeah.
Can you drum to this song? Cool. cool, let's go do it. You're more like, I have a vision, I need someone who can meet these criteria, and I think that's what takes it from just being, oh yeah, I'm a musician, man, to being like, I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my palette now, band, and I can write for them. I could think of them in mind because I know I have solid singers in my band who I can write background vocals for and what have you. It's going
to
be interesting.
They can help bring what you hear in your head to the rest of our heads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the show in Iowa City, I have a hold, and it should be confirmed. It will be in October. And I'm planning on doing kind of a – I watched way too much of The Last Waltz, like the band documentary.
Mm-hmm,
or like
yeah.
Video, you know, where they just have like everybody and their mother come up and sing a song with them, and kind of planning on doing that in Iowa City. Not like it's The Last Waltz, but
I'll have to be present since I know so many
musicians there. I'll probably be having folks come up and play some of my songs, play some of their songs.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'll have like the touring band, and then some of the bad assets will come up, and some of the horn players and singers that I know. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Sounds like a great
yet,
time.
But,
you know, I'm sure we'll talk to you again before then. And I'm, you know, curious to see how this all pans out for you. It sounds like you've got a really good thing going. And that, you know, that's the beauty of nursing, is that not just nursing, but like travel nursing, that it sounds like you've really found something that works for you and allows you to do not only what you need to do to pay the bills and to maintain your career and to grow as a nurse, but also it sounds like this has allowed you to kind of live the life that you want when you're not in scrubs.
Yeah, it's true. And one thing that, I mean, I know we're going to talk a lot more about New York some other time, but working at a hospital that's not looking out for you, like other hospitals I've worked at, like I feel like they would go to bat for me if something came up, but this was the kind of hospital that would fire you if you spoke up. When you're working in a situation where you have double the amount of patients that you're supposed to have by the national guidelines set out by various boards of nursing and probably the Joint Commission and things like that, and you feel like you have no safety net within that hospital, it makes you, one, it makes you make sure you know what you know, and it's just go time. You know, you've been training for this, and you have to, because who's going to start that IV? There's nobody around. It's you. You're the one starting the IV. Who's going to, you know, if you got to call a code, you got to be the one to do it. You got to be the one to start doing that stuff. And it just makes you, I felt like I was fighting for my nursing license every day because I was on high alert, because if I messed something up, I didn't want it to come back and bite me because I was in such unsafe conditions. And you don't realize how valuable that RN is at the end of your name. You worked so hard for it, and it's easy to take it for granted, especially if I wasn't an amazing student in college. You know, I kind of made it through, and I failed my boards the first time. I passed the second time. I was never a great student in the nursing world, but I know that I'm a good nurse, and that what I may lack in book smarts, I make up for in bedside manner and just kind of street smarts about the whole thing. And the street smarts definitely came in handy when I was in such a frankly hostile environment sometimes. And it wasn't just the unsafeness. The nurses were out to get each other. The NAs were out to get the nurses. The administration was out to get everybody.
It just sounds toxic. How does anybody get better? How does anybody heal when that's the environment that you're in? That too is another topic that we can.
I'm really itching to talk about this. And like that, I know we'll have a whole other conversation about this. But yeah, just that nursing license, no one can take that away from you. But when you feel like someone's trying to take it away from you, all of a sudden you're just like, wow, this is such a blessing and such a gift to have this, and I've worked so hard for this, and just to have it taken away by some institution that doesn't give two shits about me. They just need a body.
You're disposable to them, right?
Yeah. They just need a body to watch a few more bodies with dollar signs above their forehead, and they can just charge insurance
and there's so much to talk about with that, how to survive it, what to do in terms of being able to report things, how to navigate those waters, how to get out of those situations.
If you're a traveler, it's easy. You can just say, this wasn't what I signed up for, and you can just leave. But
yeah.
If you're a full-time staff, I could, yeah, these nurses at this hospital, some of them were lifers there, and it just blew my mind that they don't know what it's like to be at a hospital that's a positive environment, or even just like a neutral environment compared to this completely hostile and terrible, vile environment. Just down to the place being unclean because like housekeepers didn't give a shit, you know, like everybody was just so high stress and just unable to really
dysfunction
get
at its highest.
Yeah.
We should talk about that very soon. I would be down for another conversation anytime in the next few weeks, man. This has actually been a fantastic conversation, and I think that people are going to walk away with wow, a lot. You know, we've talked about music and the therapeutic nature of that, and, you know, I'm sure that there are other nurses out there or nursing students that are like, how do I bring in this artistic side of my life to what I'm doing? Because if you can find some way to make that an aspect of your job that you love, then that's going to radiate. People are going to pick up on that. They're going to be like, wow, you really must like me and give a shit about me if you're spending an extra hour after your shift playing me Christmas carols.
It is. There's just something about our floor, man. Because I've been on floors where it was just kind of a neutral environment. I've been in that hostile environment. I've been on floors where everybody's fucking each other. Bad news. No.
This is not Grey's Anatomy. No.
Exactly. Although I was always like saying this. So people would always ask me like, yeah, is it like Grey's Anatomy where like people are like fucking in like supply closets and in like bathrooms and stuff? And I said like, no, not really. I mean, a floor is kind of a family environment, and I stop and think about it for a second. And there have been times when I'm the only one out at the nurse's station, and I don't know where anybody is. So maybe I was just the odd man out, and everybody was already paired off.
They were all in the locker room together, actually. They were like, let's just leave Dan to watch the monitors, and we'll head back to the break room, and you know what I'm saying?
Crazy O-word.
Is that like the mission statement of the hospital? Like every night from 2 to 3 in the morning, we like to increase staff morale.
Time to go to the orgy.
I don't want to be charged nurse that night.
Oh my god!
All right, I think that's a good note to wrap this up on.
I guess it is.
I could talk to you for hours, but I really, my stomach is growling. I need to eat dinner.
The orgy got you.
It did. I was suddenly like, I need curry.
I need some spice. It's a spicy meat in my life.
Yeah. Doug actually made some kind of curry dish. I don't know, but
speaking of spicy meat, how is Doug?
Doug is fantastic. He's doing good. We're wishing that we, you know, lived in Denver because we went there for vacation and we didn't ever want to come back. Dan, I always enjoy talking with you. I'm sure that everyone is going to love this episode because it's very different than anything we've done so far. I think it's important to recognize that while we're great clinicians and scientists, that we're also people and we have these like unique talents and skills that we bring to the bedside, and you're no exception. So I want to encourage people again, look Dan up. I'm going to put some links in the description. You can find his music. And if you're in California, we'll put some information. We're going to try to get this episode up before his tour is wrapped up. So we'll see if we can get some people to give you a shout out. And if you do go see Dan, you got to let him know that you got to go up to him and be like, hey, man, Uncle Al sent me and said that you were the man to talk to, and let him know that you heard this podcast. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but you never know.
Hey, man, there's going to be there'll be somebody one of these days.
And then we're definitely going to talk again soon. I would love to get you and Andrew on the phone at the same time. What a crazy experience
that would be.
That would be like nursing 3.0. All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and subscribe to our podcast, share it with your friends, please send us some comments and emails. We have an email address now, medroomchronicles@gmail.com. Send us your comments, what you want to hear, and until then, happy nursing, guys. Bye, Dan.
See you later.